Romans chapter 12 is our passage this morning, verses 3 through 8. You know, there was a pastor that prepared a message and went to the church and waited as the snow fell, and there was one person that showed up for church this morning. And they looked at each other, and the pastor said, "Well, do you want me to preach this morning?" And the fellow that's sitting there said, "Well, I didn't come all this way for nothing." And so the pastor opened his Bible, and he preached his sermon and closed in prayer. And the fellow stood up, and they shook hands, and the fellow said, "You know, when I go out to feed my cows and only one shows up, I don't give him the whole load." Are you all prepared to digest a full load this morning? Oh, Romans chapter 12. I told Greg when Cynthia was telling about the Christmas season and all the people that participated, I leaned over and told him, "Well, I can close in prayer and go home." That's what the message is on today. Of all the gifts and all the diversity and all the things that can be done when people work together. I think that's really cool that we live in a time and a place and work together in a church where all the people, all the gifts are needed and welcome. One of the things I wanted to give you this morning was a real quick outline of Romans. And it's only in three parts. We covered the first part, and it took a while. Romans chapter 1 and chapter 1 through chapter 8. And that is the doctrinal or the teaching chapters. And so if you want to write that down on your paper from your bulletin or whatever, later on you can transfer it to the back of your Bible if you want to do that too. I encourage that. White pages are given to us for a reason, I think, on the back of our Bible. Mine doesn't, this new one or old one that I have now, doesn't have much room, but some have several pages of white pages at the back. And if there's something that is an outline or a thought you want to remember, an interpretation of a difficult passage or whatever, that's a good place to put it. Clear in the back of your Bible, and it's always with you then when you have your Bible along. But Romans chapters 1 through 8 are doctrinal or teaching. Chapters 9 through 11 are national, and they're dealing primarily with the nation of Israel. But in that, we see God's faithfulness. Mark Twain or Samuel Clemens was asked for his opinion. Why do you think the Jews, why do you think the Bible is still used by people in America? And he said, the argument for the Bible is not in America, it's the Jews. The Jews still exist. The Jews still are a people, even though they're scattered all over the world. The argument, the best argument for the Bible, the inspiration of the Bible, are the Jews. And so we have in Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11, those chapters deal with that nationality, the Jewish people, primarily, but there's a lot of good things for us to pick up. But we're skipping over that and going to the practical chapters, the application of the teaching in chapters 1 through 8, chapters 9 through 11, find application and how to put it to use in Romans chapter 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16, 12 through 16. And what we are going to read this morning is Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. And we're encouraged in these verses to discover who we are as individuals in the body of Christ and what we are to do there, what we are to do in the body of Christ. So I will read this for us this morning. Romans chapter 12, beginning verse 3. And the Apostle Paul is writing, so when there's reference to me and I, it's the Apostle Paul by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Father, we would ask that you just meet us here with this passage of Scripture and apply it to our hearts. You've placed us in the body of Christ, and our local church here is part of the larger church, the body, and yet you have things for us to accomplish, and it takes the participation of believers together to accomplish your work. You want to see that. It delights you that brothers dwell together in unity, and so I pray that you would use your word to instruct us, convince us of our part, and encourage our hearts, that you would receive the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle Paul wrote here, for by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. There's a place in the Bible that maybe your mind went to where the Apostle Paul wrote that he had received grace from God and he had an opinion of himself and it was accurate and he called himself the chief of sinners. But the reason he said that wasn't that he tried hard to be a really good sinner, but it was because he was an instrument of annihilation against the early church. He went about trying to destroy the church, and he was doing a pretty good job of it until God met him on a road to the city of Damascus. And you know now Damascus is a popular city. When I was a kid, I hadn't a clue where Damascus was. Nobody ever talked about that. But it's in Syria, isn't it? And if you read the newspaper, watch the news, Damascus is in the news. And Paul was heading up there because there were a bunch of Christians there that he hated. They were following this person, Jesus, who said he was God. Can you believe that? Until Jesus met him on the road to Damascus. And he saw the light, he heard the voice, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus. I'm Jesus. Oh. And God turned him around. And so later on, he would say, I'm the chief of sinners because I tried to destroy the church. And in 1 Timothy, in writing that, he said also that God had shown him grace in putting him into the ministry and considered him faithful. And so Paul understands this grace, and he says that the grace given to me, God appointed me as an apostle. I sure don't deserve that. But I experienced his grace. And I say to you, to graciously consider yourselves. That you think not of yourself more highly than you ought to think. So the first thing he's doing is wanting to crush pride. And what we read here is an honest appraisal is not an exercise of boastful pride. So he's encouraging us to take a good look at ourselves, but not so that we can pat ourselves on the back and compare ourselves to others and be a little more elevated, perhaps. I can always find someone, anyone can say, I can always find someone that I'm a little better than. And so our appraisal puts us on a little bit of pedestal. What are pedestals for? To fall off of. So we don't want any pedestals under our feet. But an honest appraisal. Don't think of yourself more highly. And the pride will say, look at me. I'm better. I think it's 1 Corinthians. It must be 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Where the Apostle Paul says, we are not of those. I should write things down when I think of them. Oh, maybe it's chapter 10. Yes. And verse 12. We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. Well, we don't want to do that. And so this appraisal is not one where we can finally find some elevated position. But God, I want to be used by you. So I need to have a good idea of who I am. And each of us can say that. I think we had a good illustration of this. Do you like Bronco football, Boise State Broncos? Is there anybody who likes them here? Huh. Amazing. Jalen Henderson, a senior quarterback who was prepared to play quarterback for the Broncos for a long time, but he was on the bench until this last season. And Coach Harsin put him in as the third string quarterback. But I think what the commentators kept repeating is something that we can get a hold of as a Christian. They said, he has come in and he's sharp. He's sharp with his passes. He's good on his legs. He's able to run the team. Because he practiced and worked at this, thinking, sometime I'm going to get my opportunity. And he came in prepared and had this estimation of himself, I can do this because I'm going to continue to work at it. I think that for Christians, that's a good attitude to have too. We may think that right now at this very moment, I've been shelved, I've been benched, I've been placed out of action for some reason or other. God says, take a good look at yourself. And the Apostle Paul is saying, have a correct appraisal of yourself. A healthy appraisal, the second point on our outlines, a healthy appraisal, understand God has equipped the saints to serve. And he hasn't left anybody out. When we receive the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we are given a spiritual gift or gifts, and we are given an opportunity to serve as God sees fit. Now, some people move into the church. They can move to Garden Valley and really not want to get involved very much for a while. That's probably okay, because sometimes people come from a place where they've been worked to death. Volunteered once, and once you volunteer, you're done for life. I mean, you're in that position, and there's no getting out of it except you move or die. I mean, So some people come here and they're ready for rest. They're ready for restoration and refreshment. And that's okay. But eventually, God has things for us to do. And just as we want to follow the Lord Jesus in all things, we can follow him in this. That in Mark chapter 8, or chapter 10, and verse 45, Jesus said, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And so as we follow the Lord Jesus, we have opportunity to fill in those places that God opens up for us in order to serve the Lord. People are involved, certainly, but our first ambition is to serve the Lord. And we find in this verse 3 one of the keys for the diversity in the church, that why we are so different. In verse 3 it says, "Think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you." What's that tell us? A measure of faith. Do all of us have all faith? Do any of us have all faith? I don't think the Bible presents us that way. But we have a measure of faith. I can tell you guys, we're a small group. I felt when I first started in the ministry over at Salmon in Idaho, that I was beat on. I was 24 years old when we started and we were asked to plant a church there. And so we met in the American Legion Hall on Sunday evenings. And we're just getting started. And we'd have 20 or 30 people in the American Legion Hall. And I would preach. We'd have songs. We had a great group of people. But I'd preach my sermon, brand new at this, and give it all I had. My heart was in it. But there was a lady that came. She'd go to church somewhere else Sunday morning and then come to our meeting on Sunday night. And just for instance, I'd preach on Romans chapter 12. And she would come up to me after the service. And she would come up right here and say, "I heard Chuck Swindoll preach on this once. And this is what he said." You know how I felt? She could have taken a stick and beat me over the head with it, and I would feel less pain than, "You know what? I know you're doing your best, but you're not Chuck Swindoll." Until I heard Chuck Swindoll preach one time, and he felt like someone else was better than he was. And he, in his devotions, it seemed that God spoke to him through the Bible. And God said, "You know, I already have one of these. What I want now is a Chuck Swindoll." And I took that and said, "God, you already have a Chuck Swindoll." And it gave me peace with this lady. And I don't remember anything after that in relationship to her. I don't know if she kept coming. But that was a hard hurdle to get over. But what it is here is that God has given each of us a measure of faith, which means if all of us had the same gift, we would all exercise it differently. So if we had a section that you over here are all teachers, okay, you're going to teach in Vacation Bible School, and we have a set curriculum for the Bible school, and you're going to take that curriculum and you're going to teach it for a week to from little kids up through junior high. And you're going to teach it, and you'll be each assigned a group of kids, and every one of you is going to teach it differently. You'll get the same theme, the same purpose, the same point, but the way you approach it, the way you handle it, will be different from one another. Huh. And any of those gifts that come along, because we deal with it according to our difference, our measured faith. So if we compare with each other, we're missing God's purpose. No, I gave you this to use according to your faith. According to the measure of faith. So we have multi-skilled team in the church. We have a multi-skilled. No one will be like someone else, just like them. Second thing that the Bible tells us here is that each person in the church is to understand the context of the body. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we are, who are many, form one body. And so in reading that, there's another point, another key to understand the diversity in these church, in the church. These members do not all have the same function. So thankfully, a large group of the whole church are not teachers. There's other things that need to be done besides teaching, and God gives various gifts. There is much more creativity than what we often see. Thank you for telling us about all that went on at Christmas time. And so much was done because so many participated. But I was thinking back over since we've been here and some of the things that have gone on. This is one of the things that I would invite you to do. There were two ladies that were good friends, Calla and Rena. And they came many years ago now. They came to me and asked if it would be all right if they produced a church newsletter. And I said, certainly. If that's something that's on your heart, you would like to see this happen. You know, every month, this they called it the Messenger. And every month they came out with an interview with people that are new. Some new family, a new couple, a new person. Every month we were introduced to someone new in the church. Every month they had news items of things that were coming up. A little bit of history of the church on one page. Oh, it was great. They took the initiative and said, you know what? I think this would be really cool. We like to write. We like to talk to people. And they enlarged it to include community things. And so people in the community would take these letters. I'd have a little pastor from the pastor's desk corner on it. And there's a witness out there. Wow. It was great. I kind of wait for people to come to me. Not always, because some of you have had me. I hope I haven't twisted arms. But would you, could you, are you willing to do this? Can God equip you to help us out in some area? But if God lays something on your heart, I'm looking, I'm waiting to hear from people that say, you know, I think God's placed this on my heart to do this. And so we have people that are, a while back someone repainted the church sign. Someone donated money for a picnic area that's been much used. Another paid to have asphalt laid in the picnic area. Others have volunteered. My water disappeared. Another paid, or cards are written and sent. There are people who give money. There are skills that are applied to different projects going on, like Christmas time. Oh, man, there's so much you can do. But what makes everything have one effect? What is it that, from God's perspective, he would say, this is good? I'd like to read from 1 Corinthians. It's only a few pages away. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Bless you. Romans chapter 12. It is 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 4 through 6. And it says there are different kinds of gifts. Boy, I had a drink of water. Now it just sounds like I'm gargling. Comes on fast. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. What's the common word in all three of those verses? Different. Different. What's common? What else is common in each of those verses? The function is different, but the person of God, the triune God, is the same, isn't it? There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Different kinds of working or effects, but the same God who works all of them in all men. And so what makes everything have one effect? The church is God's. He's giving the gifts. He's giving the motivation. He's prompting people to do things. If it rests on the pastor or elders or some leader of the ministry to make that thing happen, it's going to bite the dust. But if it's God's, He brings about the motivations, He gives the energy to it. These are the words that are used in here. And He brings about the effect that He designed. And so we can submit to the Lord Jesus. And each person is to function within the body for the common good. In verses back in Romans, we are in Romans chapter 12. When we read at verse 6, we have different gifts according to the grace given to us. Oh, there's another one, isn't it? We had the measure of faith. We have different functions. And now there's another measure. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. We have different amount of faith. We have different things to do. We have different amount of grace to perform what God has given us to do. So we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith, and so on. And those gifts, seven gifts, are mentioned. The motivations. So we have different gifts, different grace, different faith that's proportionate. And each believer is placed in the church to meet a need in the body. Now God has placed us here. How many people do we have here this morning? Half of a normal Sunday if we're lucky. But this many can accomplish a lot, can't we? If we are committed to serving the Lord, doing what, not beyond what we're capable, but by His grace and His endowment of His energy, His power, we can accomplish much. We can't always do what we want, but we can do it as God equips us. Another part of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 18 and 19. The Bible tells us, in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? If we were all wishing I was somebody else, had the abilities of somebody else, where would your part be? Who would do that? But the point is that there is no person more important than another. And all are necessary. Only God knows how to use people in the church who have different gifts, different temperaments, different histories, different home lives, different education, and on and on and on. a lot of things that are different, but he binds us together, he pulls us together into one body. Do you see that Christ wants to include you in active participation in this church? He has given you his Holy Spirit to empower and enable you to accomplish his will, that will which is good and pleasing and perfect. After reading over that and hearing comments about this passage in Romans, will you submit your will to obey the Lord in whatever way he leads you? Will you help build the church and reach friends and neighbors for Jesus? I think that's what God is asking us. If you have a gift, use it according to what God has given you. I'd like for us to pray. Commend ourselves to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build us up and to give us an inheritance among all those that are sanctified. And Father, I thank you that many are missing this morning from our congregation. Your word's not limited to what happens right here, and I pray that they would run across things and have a ministry to them, maybe in their isolation because of the snow, but for us here, and considering this passage in particular, would you give us your peace, your assurance of your presence with us, the calling that you've given us as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, not to act as someone else, but to act according to the working, the energy, the gift that you've given to us. Thank you for these folks this morning and all together. May you be pleased with our worship in Jesus' name.